Well, a Norwegian man woke up Swedish. Did you see that in the news? He thought he was in hell. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we go grand with Coffee Town producer and College Humor founder Rick Van Veen. Plus, we have some Yeartide fun during a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who mistakenly waved at Uranus instead of Saturn for that Cassini picture, it's Michael Feldman.
What? All right. Oh, all right. That's nothing, though. Ole woke up and thought he was Lena. Okay. I told you it was nothing, and you agreed. Another news that isn't, the panda mother of twins says, please, no more stuffed pandas. Let's see now, in other news, the home builder confidence is up after taking a pretty bad spill from the roof, so that's a good thing. Housing starts are up, finishes, not so much. I'll get to it when I get to it. What was that? Who did that? John?
I'm sorry.
What are you doing back there? You mind if I go on with this?
No.
There was I then. There's some danger of consumer overconfidence. There's that. The head of the Fed says he will hand out G-Man badges. Wall Street goes through the roof. Florida passes a new stand your sinkhole law. The House passes a stay warm and drink plenty of fluids, ask me if I care, health plan. Bad news, Detroit files for bankruptcy. The good news, Malibu's 10 cents on the dollar. Given calorie guides, McDonald's patrons eat them. It is discovered. President Obama says he sees himself in young Northwest Kardashian. The president said women still in elevators still clutch their purses when he gets in. But once they realize it's him, they open them and take out their compacts. And... Okay, never mind. Snail facials make snails look years younger. A cooperative Edward Snowden given access to duty-free at Moscow Airport. The same-sex marriage law in Britain theoretically allows the queen to marry another queen, which I think is... Be cool. It's all it's same sex, same class, of course, in the UK. So very important. The ancient Earth was extremely hot, but it was a dry heat. Keith Olbermann returns to TV as lottery ball picker. Lottery ball picker. That's the way you should say that. Auto tag surveillance raises hackles of the American Civil License Plate Union. Okay. Cover me, will you, in case I have to leave in a hurry. A Rolling Stone magazine boycotted after Neil Diamond in jumpsuit cover. Okay, thank you, John. Glad you put your monitor on so you can get some response here. I'm going to say, scandal rocks pseudo sports world as rhythmic gymnastics turns out to be a big joke. Synchronized swimming, we're looking at that now. Revelation that J.K. Rowling wrote the Book of Mormon. The world's oldest calendar is extremely out of date. Just discovered it. So that's Arbor Day, the last week of April. A public radio host turns up in Biogenesis appointment book. Obesity gene unable to skip generations. The Missouri first graders now have NRA gun class right after nap time. That's a breakthrough for gun training. The House not only does it with food stamps, but makes couponing a felony. Where are you? And can you come every week, please? Thank you so much for that. The mailman receives an Emmy and yet another Netflix victory. in the Emmys. The mailman did. Received one. Tibetan monks make sand mandala with 3D printer. They print one grain at a time. It's an amazing thing to see. Smokey the Bear is sequestered, so smoke him if you got him. And in Milwaukee, 72-year-old Paul McCartney rocks the stadium crowd with "I saw her wobbling there." That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much, and good night. I gotta go. A Norwegian joke. I shouldn't have started out with a Norwegian joke. Okay, should have gone right to the McCartney joke and just said good night. That would have been fine. Speaking of comedy, though, in case you were, the man behind the College Humor site, which has made really inroads in comedy and big bucks as well, Mr. College Humor himself, Ricky Van Veen, is with us, and he's got a new movie out. Now, they're doing a movie. College Humor is doing a movie, their first movie, but it's actually streaming right to your computer. So they get to, you know, they don't have to take a $200 million write-off on it afterwards. So that's the advantage of that. He's with us right now, Ricky Van Veen in New York. Hi, Ricky. How are you?
Hi. I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for doing it. So, you know, and speaking of College Humor and so forth, is there a Wake Forest humor?
Well, it started at Wake Forest. Yeah. When I was a freshman in college, I was 18,
yeah.
And my best friend from high school and I were DJs. That was our kind of high school into college job. We were terrible DJs. We did bar mitzvahs and sweet 16s. And we were DJing a freshman year of college, an office party for this company called Advertising.com. And, you know, this was the height of the bubble, and there are all these, you know, 20-something millionaire idiots there, you know, on paper, of course. And we were like, hey, we want to be 20-something millionaire idiots. And so we started the website, you know, right there when we were freshmen. I was at Wake Forest. He was at University of Richmond.
Yeah. And it was a huge success, though. You must have made millions on it, did you? I don't know if you want to speak about that.
No, I mean, it's done well.
Done well means you made millions on it, right? Otherwise, it's not well. I mean, you're not a billionaire, probably, but you're a good-sized millionaire.
I'm not a billionaire. That's correct.
That's cool. And then, but, you know, like Harvard gets most of the comedy chops, right?
Yeah, and also Harvard also gets all the startup chops.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times someone assumes that I went to Harvard because I have a tech startup or, you know, a internet startup. And sometimes I just roll with it, and they just keep talking. I'm like, yeah. So they ask me about, like, a major, and then I have no idea.
Yeah. Could you not get into Harvard? Did you try?
There's no way I could have gotten into Harvard.
Yeah. What did you major in at Wake Forest?
I was like an information systems kind of major. I don't even think they have it anymore.
Like IT? An IT guy?
Yeah, it was like business IT kind of thing. It was one of these, like, again, like a height of the bubble majors where they're like, oh, people are, you know, doing internet stuff now. We have to kind of get into that. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ever sorry you didn't stay with the IT? Because, I mean, you can always work.
I was graduating, and my business partner and I were like, you know, what can we, you know, what can we do? You know, we can, we had to make the decision between going and getting jobs or continuing with the startup. And we looked at the options, and we said, all right, we're making enough money at this point to have cable TV and eat pizza every night. And, you know, when you're 22 years old, you're like, yeah, that's a good option. So,
yeah.
So we decided to take the risk and go for it.
Is it at all hard at a certain point to stay with College Humor when you're, you know, obviously postgraduate at this point?
Yeah, you know, that's a question we asked ourselves the day we graduated. and then we had a meeting at MTV, and we realized that the people running MTV weren't screaming 14-year-old girls.
No.
And we're like, all right, I guess you can run a media company, you know, that's aimed at a different demographic, even if you're not in that demographic.
Yeah.
But we still hire interns and people right out of college, and, you know, keep the voice fresh.
Yeah, and does your company make Chopped too? Is that the TV show?
Yeah. So we have a non-scripted division, and Chopped on the Food Network is probably our show.
Who comes up with the baskets on Chopped? Can you tell me?
It's the showrunner and the producers.
Yeah, what sadist does that? I mean, that is the worst combination of ingredients to make anything out of. You know.
Yes.
I mean, that's the genius of the show, I think.
My favorite episode was the Leftovers episode. They're very smart people over there.
Sea squirts and challah.
Yes.
And chocolate sauce.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And now this is a departure for you to go into movies, and this is actually being streamed directly to you bypassing Hollywood altogether. Is that the
exactly? So we have this movie called Coffee Town, and the premise is basically you can think of Office Space, but it's a workplace comedy for the generation that that doesn't really go to an office as much. So yeah. People who freelance at home or in coffee shops. And it's about this character named Will, who's played by Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right.
And he has this freeloading existence using the Wi-Fi of his local coffee shop. And the coffee shop is, you know, threatened to be turned into a bar, and he would basically lose his free office.
Yeah.
So he and his friends band together and save it. And so we made this movie, and it's a low-budget movie. And
how low?
We don't say exactly, but pretty low. It looks and feels like a mainstream movie because it's shot very well. It's written very well. The director is a guy from Arrested Development. He also did some big family comedies like Wild Hogs and Yogi Bear. Mm. And so he comes from that mainstream world, but he just wanted to do something a little more hands-on and creative.
Yeah.
And so we made the movie. And we're doing a theatrical tour, you know, which is mm-hmm. about a 12 to 14 different cities. But our main distribution is iTunes, Amazon, Xbox, you know, all the your local, you know, your cable provider. It's everywhere you can get on-demand movies. Mm-hmm. And we realized that would be a good idea when we had a group of high school kids about 6 months ago mm-hmm. touring our offices. And we get, you know, kids a lot, you know, that want to see the College Humor offices. And I asked them, where do you guys see movies? And nobody said the theater. Everyone, their first thing was Amazon, Netflix, right. iTunes. And I realized that this generation, the generation that this movie is targeted towards, they only go to a theater when it's an event movie, right? Yeah. When it's Avengers or Spider-Man, when it's, you know, they want to go at midnight and be in line with their friends. But if it's a goofy comedy like ours, they'll watch it at home.
Yeah.
And so we said, you know, why have that extra step? Yeah. Why not just kind of try to focus on the on-demand aspect of this?
Yes. On the other hand, they will have ripped off all these movies.
Well, every movie is on, you know, is pirated.
Yeah.
The day it's out. But, you know, if you want
yours is harder to rip off, though, really, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to rip it off because it's not there.
Yeah.
There's no form. It doesn't have like a physical form. You'd have to break into the hack into your stream or something.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't want to get too technical because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can copy it digitally, and I'm like encouraging people. No. But yeah, it's basically if you can see and hear anything, you can pirate it. So you have to assume that what you want to do is just make it as convenient as possible for people to see it, and then they won't pirate it. So with this movie, you know, it's one click on your Apple TV. And you're watching it.
Yeah. I have a little bit of just a sound clip here of Will kind of explaining what he's all about. Would you mind if we played a little bit?
Go for it.
Okay.
When I got laid off from my office job a year ago, I tried working at home.
Add it to the drop-down menu.
But roommates can make that difficult. So I come here. Coffee Town. Though it wasn't always called that. A local businessman, Morris Brown, wanted to start a chain of coffee stores, and since coffee is brown, he came up with the ingenious name Brown Town, which some took the wrong way. So it became Coffee Town. And it works for me because, unlike some people in this world,
do you have another card, maybe?
I live within my means.
Next.
I drive a 1998 Saturn. I buy clothes at estate sales.
That was his church coat.
I get my hair cut at a cosmetology school.
No. Lose yourself. Don't be afraid to fail.
And I use a coffee shop as my office, which I love. It's three blocks from my house, has comfortable chairs, and most importantly, people that are bigger losers than me.
Where's your dial-up connection?
But like any office, there are rules to surviving, and they have to be followed. The main rule? Always be drinking. You stop drinking, you stop being a customer. And the reason I have to play by the rules is this guy, Sam. He sees people like me as parasites, squatters in his house of free Wi-Fi.
What'll it be, sir?
He knows.
Medium drip, lightly sweetened.
Sometimes I let him write it all down. Then I change it up.
With whole milk.
I win.
Now I just have to find a way to drink milk without f***ing my pants.
He changed it up on him.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there any personal experience involved in this?
When I first moved to New York, we didn't have internet in our apartment for a few weeks. So I would go to a Starbucks every day and work. And there's a real culture around it. And in that clip, the barista is played by Josh Groban, right, the singer. And he just kills it. I didn't know this until I read it in a Rolling Stone interview yesterday with Josh, but he said he based his character off the lead singer of Creed, but an unsuccessful version. And if you watch the movie, it's very funny to see him in a goatee with these awkward tattoos, and he's in a crappy band.
By the way, doesn't Creed come up in quite a bit in your college humor?
Yes, Creed is a go-to, for sure.
That's a go-to. Yeah, and Josh Groban is great in it. Plus, the cast is really great.
The cast is great. It's Adrian Palicki, who plays Tyra on Friday Night Lights. Ben Schwartz from House of Lies and Parks and Rec is in it.
Right.
Steve Little from Eastbound and Down. A great cast of comedy up-and-comers, which I think really just make for a funny movie. And the two reactions we get from people when they watch the movie, the first one is, I can't believe it's actually funny, meaning so many comedies now, that studio comedies, come out and they have the rhythm of a comedy, but the jokes just aren't that funny. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, well, it's funny to see a comedy that actually lives up to the genre of comedy. And the second is rewatchability. And people are like, there's a lot of quotable scenes, and the kind of, it's the kind of movie where if you're in a dorm, you put it on at midnight and watch it as you're going to sleep, and every night over and over. So we've been getting a great reaction to it.
Yeah, and have you found that young people are actually buying this as opposed to trying to rip it off somehow?
Yeah,
it's working.
We cracked the top 10 of iTunes, which is huge for a movie with pretty much no promotional budget behind it. It's all just word of mouth, people saying like, hey, I saw this movie, you got to see it.
Yeah. It's Glenn Howard, and is interesting. Because I was looking up his bio, I just sort of learned more about him. And it says that he is actually fluent in Mandarin, Korean, French, Spanish, German, and Farsi. So you could actually do this in different languages.
we could have him dub it over.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Farsi, you could do this and make a killing in Iran.
Yes.
I'm sure the same, because Internet Cafe, that's like a global phenomenon.
Yeah, and it's funny, when we started shooting this movie, we would see more and more articles about nationwide changes, like Starbucks is now putting locks on bathrooms and basically trying to get rid of this freeloading culture.
Yeah.
And, just walking around my city, I see coffee shops now have signs that say laptops allowed only from, noon until 5 p.m.
No kidding.
To really try to get these freeloaders out.
Yeah. And the quarter for the bathroom?
The quarter for the bathroom is in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Glenn's character decides that he figures out that he doesn't need a quarter. He just needs tokens from basically a Chuck E. Cheese. And so he goes to a Chuck E. Cheese ball pit and just watches kids drop tokens out of their pockets. And then they think he's there to just watch kids, and they haul him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun little moment.
Hanging around the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, not a good look.
Not a good thing for anybody, I don't think. And so, how do we know about... Usually you talk about screens and so forth in the movie, how many screens it's on and so forth. And gross, does gross get reported for something like this? Or how
it doesn't get reported publicly, no. But the main metric you can use is just to look at the iTunes charts. That's kind of like the new standard for a release, because it's it's public information. And it's just kind of like the weekend box office. Like, oh, you were number one in the box office. Like, oh, you were X on the iTunes charts this weekend.
Yeah, so you're like number five, did you say?
Yeah, I think we got up to 8. And I've been kind of holding around there.
Yeah.
So that's, we're really, really pleased.
Who's right above you in iTunes right now?
I think it was the movie Red. Last time I checked. Or it was also another point, I think it's Queen of Versailles. Have you seen that documentary?
Yeah. No.
It's a great documentary about the construction of America's largest private home. And then it kind of goes a different direction, and it starts focusing on the people building it, and you can imagine they're quite characters. So that one's worth checking out after Coffee Town.
Yeah. Do you make an appearance in this film?
Like, I actually cut
Hitchcock?
Myself out of it.
You did?
Yeah, we had a joke. We had a, when Will is explaining the benefits of working at a coffee shop, he says, you know, your friends can stop by anytime they want. And then there was a cut to, like a 30 Rock style cut to, where he says, you know, you can't do that at every job. And it cuts to a surgeon doing surgery, and then his buddies there saying, hey, what are we doing tonight? And we, you know, we were casting it, and we were like, all right, well, you know, we have to find an actor to play a surgeon. And I said, well, why do we have to find an actor when it's just when the surgeon is wearing a mask, you can't even see their face. I said, I'll just get in there. And, it, you know, it doesn't matter. But that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Did you cut it or did
I cut it. Yeah.
You did. Right. Your thinking was?
We just wanted to pace it up as much as possible.
Oh, I see. Okay. Pacing thing.
Yeah, especially because, you know, a lot of it takes place in the same, you know, room. You know, but I'd say half the movie at different points is in this coffee shop. So we wanted to make sure that it was paced and you didn't feel claustrophobic, and yeah. Hopefully we did that.
Because I couldn't help but notice you did have a walk-on on girls.
I did you have did a walk-on on girls, yes. That was in the episode where the Marnie character is singing,
Allison.
And I cringe, yes. Yeah.
Was that a genuine cringe? Because I know Allison Williams is a friend of yours.
Yes.
You're close.
Yes. And that was a, it was a genuine cringe. And it's funny for people who know us to watch that.
She was saying stronger, right, Kanye?
Yes. In one of the most memorable episodes of TV of the entire year.
Yeah. She has a strong voice.
Yes.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yes.
So that was good. Okay. Now, What happens next with the film? I mean, is this the start of a series?
Yeah, so we have the premiere at the Montreal Comedy Festival. That's July 27th. Oh. And that's the kind of big festival premiere, and tickets are available for that. You can go online and get them. Yeah. And then we have a Q&A with the cast afterwards. And then we're thinking about doing a college tour with some of the cast in the fall to kind of, you know, keep the momentum going. And hopefully, you know, like I said, the reviews, you know, if you can see on iTunes and Amazon, you know, the reviews that people leave, and they've been fantastic. So hopefully that word of mouth will help propel it. And even though we don't have the, you know, millions of dollars of marketing that a traditional studio would.
Yeah. Does Barry Diller have a hand in this at all? I know he was your mentor at one point.
I work for Barry to this day. So he bought College Humor from us.
Yeah.
And I sent him the script, and I said, I think we should do this. And, you know, what I like about Barry is that he's, you know, willing to take risks and try new things.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's all about innovation. And he said, buy it. And it was that simple. And I think if I would have sold to any other kind of conglomerate, I don't think this ever would have happened, because there would be just layers of, you know, maybe this department should do it or that department and approvals. And the great thing about Barry is he's just like, yeah, let's do it.
Well, I think Laverne and Shirley paved the way for Coffee Town.
Yes.
And the other thing that you wonder about it, don't people make movies now for the write-off, don't they? I mean, like the Lone Ranger was like $194 million they're going to write off on it.
Yeah.
And it's a strange business. So.
Yes, and we actually benefited from the Lone Ranger, you know, kind of bombing, because in several articles, there's one in the LA Times and one in Media Post, had the same comparison of Coffee Town versus the Lone Ranger.
And unexpected.
Unexpected.
Yes.
And I was making it, I did not expect to be compared to the Lone Ranger in any way. And it basically said, you know, Lone Ranger costs hundreds of millions of dollars to make, hundreds of millions of dollars more to promote, and it bombed. And it's just not sustainable for the future of filmmaking.
Yeah.
And we also had, about 2 weeks before our release, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg on a panel talking about how video on demand really is the future.
Yeah.
And there's going to be an implosion of these big, you know, bloated studio tentpole films, because you can only have so many Lone Rangers until you're kind of out of business.
True enough. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us, Ricky Van Veen.
Thanks, Michael. It's been great.
Nice to speak with you. Congratulations. Good luck on this film and other things to come. Coffee Town. Appreciate it. Ricky Van Veen, ladies and gentlemen. A nice guy for a young millionaire, I think. He's a very nice guy. And College Humor jumps into film in its own terms with Coffee Town. So look, you can get it on iTunes and so forth. See if you can bump it up a notch or two on iTunes. It is quite funny. All right there, hey.
Yeah, Coffee Town.
Coffee Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is true, you know, and you go into someplace, Starbucks or local coffee shop and stuff, and everyone, you see all these kids there with their laptops.
Right.
And some of them are drinking water. You know, have you noticed that? That, I think, is...
Or nothing.
That's a faux pas.
Just sitting there. I was in a Starbucks, and a car pulls up in front, and the guy, like, parks right in front, blocking the whole street, little thing, pulls out his laptop, and he's
just uses it. Oh, he does?
Cars are honking, going around. It's like...
God. You're kidding.
No.
So he's stealing their Wi-Fi and just staying in his vehicle?
Yeah, and even coming to the store.
Wow. What's this coming to, ladies and gentlemen? How many of you are internet cafe or coffee shop cafe habitués? Applaud, though, because we can't see your hands. Okay, just this young guy over here, okay. And the older guy over here. That's cool. All right, so what do you got for us here? What's going on?
This
Wait a minute, promoting, what's going on? You want to promote something? Last week you had two things to promote.
Yeah. Nothing.
Okay.
maybe the second hour.
Look at Jeff.
We'll talk about the second hour.
Okay, second hour.
It's plenty of time.
Okay.
Well, what do you got?
Who?
Oh, yeah, Jeff. Well, Jeff has an ongoing gig at Andy's Jazz Club in Chicago with the tenor player Mike Smith.
Oh, okay. Good.
Alto.
Alto player.
Did he play a little tenor, too, then?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure he did at one point. Okay. It doesn't come out of nowhere. That you know. Sure. Sure he did.
Okay.
Okay, and this tune, tell us about it. There's a story behind it.
Not much to tell. Really.
No?
Okay. It's a Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway tune.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Where's the Love?
Where's the Love?
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Hard to follow that. Stan is here, though. I got to do a shout out to Stan because I got Stan. I don't know why. Stan Ketterbeck. Ketterbeck. Close enough. Stan Ketterbeck. Yes. Stand up, Stan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I guess it was your wife who tweeted me.
No, actually, it's probably my daughter.
Your daughter, yeah. And tweeted me and said I had to give you a shout out.
Okay.
I don't know why. She didn't say. why am I?
I assume because she wanted me to talk to you.
Yeah. Are you like a talk show freak? Can we say that?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Do you call in the talk shows?
No, I don't.
You've never called in?
Never tweet
you
either.
Just listen to them?
No, actually, I don't even do that.
You don't even listen to them. So your daughter, was your daughter thinking of someone else? Or?
No, I think she was thinking of you.
Just this show.
Just
because
this show.
Did she have to listen to it when she was
I tortured her every Saturday. Yeah. You know.
What was the circumstance? Well, on the way to soccer or something like
that? Oh, no. No, just over breakfast, you know, cold soup or whatever, cold cereal.
Cold soup for breakfast.
I tortured her, I told you.
Yeah. And you made her listen to the show. She had to listen to it.
Right.
Of course, headphones.
No, we didn't have headphones.
No, was she on headphones?
Yeah, usually, yeah.
So she got through it. Okay, that's good. Now, are you're not on a talk show or a public radio show tour?
No, just this show.
This is it.
This is it.
Something. It's on your bucket list or something?
It's on my bucket list,
On your bucket list. Stan the man. Wait a minute, Stan. Keep standing. We have something for you.
Well,
you deserve something for that.
Well, we should absolutely send you home with a long-tailed T-shirt that also displays the popular What Do You Know logo from Duluth Trading Company.
Yes, Plummer. It's a Plummer's T-shirt.
Right. It is. Yes. It's yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't we want to give more, though? We got to give them.
Sure,
Give them the box.
How about
the game thing. Give them the game.
Oh, the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
They get the big kielbasa?
I don't know if you do or not. I haven't heard nothing about that. But
there's What Do You Know the Party game, and there are contestants, there's a lively audience, and there's even a Michael Feldman bobblehead.
So you don't really need
me
anymore.
That's what I really wanted, the bobblehead.
We'll pass this.
Yeah. Thanks.
You do your own show then. Thank you, Stan. Big shout out to Stan. Came here. He came here to be here. That's very rare, in my opinion. Now we got Jesse is in Madison, dumpster diver, curb surfer, who fixes broken things. I'm betting Jesse is an interesting individual. Yeah? Yeah? Is that you? Is this all true? Is this all true? It's all true? Okay. Stylistically, how does one...
My children have been to you, so we've been here.
Stand up. No, stand up here. You don't have to hold this. Yes. How are you?
I'm very good.
Let's explain some of this. Now, dumpster diver, curb surfer.
Well, I'm a retired teacher, so what do you do? What do you know?
You look for things that you can refurbish and repair.
They're just there on the curb, and it's broken, and it's nice, and so I take it, and I fix it, and I put it on the curb, and people take it.
You find stuff on the curb, you fix them, and you put them back on the curb.
Sometimes I do, yeah. Sometimes I make it into something else.
You're a very interesting person. I thought you might be.
Yeah.
What have you made into something else?
Well, I've made a chair into like a seat with a bookshelf underneath. Yeah. You know, right now I have it
found on the street. The bookshelf and
I found a dresser. It had really beautiful slides on the side. So I took the slides off, and I'm going to use those for something else, and I'm going to make a cabinet because the wood on the side is really good wood. It's good wood. Yeah. Nice and sturdy. It doesn't need to be a dresser. It can be a shelf for my grandson, my new grandson.
He's on the shelf?
I wish sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah, he just learned how to walk, and now he's going to want to have a place for his toys, you know, when he comes over. So yeah. I'll have shelves for his toys now out of this. This dresser.
Do you do electronics as well?
Do I?
Electronics.
Not in public.
I mean, if you find something that's electronic, TVs and computers and such.
No, those you have to recycle them. And no, because there's stuff in there that it's not, no. But I have things at my house. I just found a little TV that has a VCR, and I got a bunch of VCRs for my grandson. So he can put in Elmo. And it's a TV with the little VCR. It's about this big. It's on the curbs. Like,
so there's life after teaching, is what you're saying.
Trees all over Madison, where you take your stuff and you put it under the tree, and people actually cover it up sometimes when it rains. And so if you want something, you can go to the giving tree. And
there's
a chair. I need one. You know, or, oh, there's a TV. Nobody wants that. They're all over in some neighborhoods.
Thank you, dear. Very nice to hear about your efforts out there.
Restore's great. Restore. Go Restore.
Restore. All right. Jesse. Well, that's pretty cool. Shauna Fugelstad is also here. There you are. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Why did I pick your card? How are you? Nice to meet you.
I don't know.
Let me see if I actually read it. On average, how many tweets do you... Oh, Twitter thing.
Twitter, Tweety. Yeah. Tweety thing, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to cut back.
You're addicted to Twittering?
I sort of am because it's too easy. To tweet, you know. You know Anthony Jeselnik, you know the comedian?
No.
Jeselnik or Jeselnik. Anyhow, he does this thing where he has comedians on, and he has a section of the show called Defend Your Tweet. And he puts the tweet that they made on there, and they have to defend what they said. And I sort of feel that way myself. A lot of the stuff is I can't defend. You know, you just sort of do things. You think, well, here's an interesting thought I just had. And you put it down there immediately, and, you know, you don't even look at it. So it's getting out of hand.
It's a stray thought, and it's out there, and you can't take it back. Right?
You can't have stray thoughts anymore. You know, now you got to actually document your stray thoughts, and that's kind of a sickness.
I'd say so. I stay away from tweeting myself, but but I see that you even accept tweets when you're on the air, looks like.
Yes. Oh, I do, yeah. I got to do something with it, you know, justify it. But it's, I actually uninstalled all my Twitter accounts. I kept the Twitter account, but I installed all the little, you know, the little birdie that you can click on and make a tweet. And then, but then I put them all back on again.
Well, I enjoy your tweets when I read them.
But you don't do it yourself.
I don't do it myself, no. But if I ever do get a Twitter account, you'll be the first one I tweet.
Follow me. Follow me.
I'll follow you on Twitter.
At my Feldman. Don't go there, though. At my Feldman. Thank you, dear.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Donna from Waukesha. We have a tour guide, a Paris tour guide here. That's a little unusual for us. And how are you? Gail, is it? Yes.
Oui, bonjour.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Who's guiding people now? Is there no one in Paris because it's summer and everyone's hot? It's hot and they've all left.
Well, I only take like 6 people at a time.
Oh.
And I
Oh, you don't stand on the streets there and just guide anybody.
No. But when I bring the people to Paris, then I give them a tour of, like, a tasting tour. Pastries, chocolate, wine. And then we go to Montmartre, and we go to, yeah. And they're, and we only take small groups because we don't want to be walking around with this giant flag with 1,000 people behind us.
How did you learn all the ins and outs of Paris?
Well, I taught French for 35 years. It seems like there's a lot of teachers in the audience.
Yeah.
And I
not dumpster diving. That's amazing. In Paris.
Dive. And then after 35 years, I thought, well, what am I going to do with my French? And people kept asking me to take them to Paris. So I said, okay. So my friend and I started this Americans in Paris tour company.
Yeah. Are you lost a lot? Because, I mean, you didn't grow up there, and there's a lot of nooks and crannies.
No, because I've go there twice a year for the last 30 years. So
you know actual Parisian people?
Yes, I do. I have friends in Paris and Strasbourg and Provence.
So. You find any that actually like Americans? So if
you know, that is the one thing that every time I bring a group, after the first couple of days, they say, "Where are the rude French?"
Yeah.
I said, "They all died." I mean, that was like in the 70s. People think in France that they don't shave, that they don't take showers, and when my friend
that's
friends,
true.
No, it's when my
saw statistics on the on the bathing thing. That's still true.
When my French friends come and stay with me, I will have friends say, "Oh, so do you take a shower every day?" And they're like, "Why do people keep asking us if we shower? Why do people?" I'm going to show you my armpits. I don't have hair there. And they say, "Yeah, but my people in the 70s didn't used to." But that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
I'll never change the friend. No, that sounds great. Wonderful thing. So, and then when do you go back with your next group?
Our next tour is in October. We go in June and in October.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gail. Nice
to
meet you. All right, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. We play rounds of quizzes. That's sort of, I can't slip through there again. I don't know how I got through that small opening before. And who has our, yes, before we can actually play the quiz, we have, who do I give that to? Yes, you have to come down all this way here. Step on all their feet if you must. They don't mind. Stan's okay with that.
Yep.
Stan and his group. Say hello to Stan here before you come through.
Nice.
It's the Stan show. Today is the Stan show. And you are?
Joel.
Joel?
Joel.
How are you?
Fine.
You from around here, Joel?
No, Arkansas.
Arkansas. Where in Arkansas?
Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, one of my favorite towns ever. What a beautiful town, Fayetteville.
I'll give this to you. And
oh. The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, anxiety can rid you of exercise. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who've won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or Lackey. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Done this before. That was good. Are you an announcer by profession?
No, I teach a professional. Professor Mike.
Very good. Really well done. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. It's a chance for you to win fabulous prizes just for this young man here, the future of America. Not just the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, ladies and gentlemen. An educated young gentleman. And you are Aaron, right?
Alec.
Alec. Alec Rogers?
Sure.
Alec, and where are you from?
Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis. And you're still a Packer fan?
Born and raised.
Yeah, how'd that happen exactly? Well, living in Minneapolis.
This man right here, my father, he was born here.
Is there a gene for a Packer fan? Did he pass on the Packer gene to you?
The handsome gene.
Alec, huh?
Yep.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Alec.
I have more hair than you.
Okay. I said a good reason. Come on. I have more hair than you. Well, let's meet again in 40 years, see if that's it. Probably still will, I guess, at that point. Anyhow, let me see. I have headphones and stuff. You can have those if you want them, but you don't really need them. They're not really cool headphones or anything. They're not like noise canceling. Huh? I mean, you know, don't take them with you or anything because you're not going to want those, I don't think. So what are you doing these days? In school?
Yep.
Yeah, where are you? Where are you?
Edina High School. It's a suburb of Minneapolis.
You're still in high school?
About to start my senior year.
All right, yeah. What sports are you out for, Allie?
Sports.
Sports? Out for any sports? Or you just get the jerseys?
No, football and rugby.
Football and rugby. Which one's tougher?
Tougher?
Yeah, I mean, where do you suffer more, rugby or football?
Probably football.
Really? I heard rugby was like the toughest sport in the world.
More fun.
Yeah, because can't you legally beat people up really bad in rugby? There's like, do they call penalties if you're smashing somebody in a pile? Well, they get big piles, right?
Not if the ref doesn't see it.
Yeah. So there are penalties then for roughing or whatever?
Yeah.
Roughhousing? What are the penalties called in rugby? I mean, what shouldn't you do in rugby?
Punch the ref.
Punch the ref is a good idea always in any sport. But, I mean, it's, you know.
You have to stay onside.
Stay onside.
Tackle using form, you have to wrap up.
You have to wrap up in a tackle. I mean, you got to put your arms around the guy and bring him down.
And you have to tackle him low. You can't, like, grab him by the head.
You can't wrap him up around the neck, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. If you do that, let's say it happens. If he slips on you, the guy is slippery and you end up around his neck, then that's a penalty?
Yeah.
And then how do they work the penalties in?
Well, if it's serious enough, you can get kicked out of the game.
Okay.
But
minor neck wrapping?
Well, maybe not minor.
No.
And then
yeah.
They have a restart, and you have to be 10 yards back or 10 meters.
10 meters. Oh, it's in meters and stuff.
That's metric.
I get that. You got the hair. You think you got the brains, too, don't you? That's cool. I have no idea how rugby works. My dad used to play it when he grew up in Canada, in Vancouver, and they played rugby and stuff and baseball, but a lot of rugby and stuff, but I don't quite get it. In football, what do you play?
Fullback.
You're fullback? Like, are you an actual running fullback, or are you blocking mostly?
More blocking.
Yeah. You know, fullbacks used to run. Remember, you don't remember those days. That was before your time. We used to have actual running fullback. I think we should go back to that, don't you? Because then you have two guys running.
And then I'd get the ball.
Then you'd get the ball, and you'd get this little, you know, acknowledgement. Because who cheers for blockers? The parents.
Yeah, the parents. Yeah, the parents.
Whoa, did you see that block? My kid. Well, that's great. And then, what are you thinking about after high school? You got to think about college and stuff. Any plans?
If I get in, I'd like to go here, UW-Madison.
UW, yeah. What is it about it that you heard that appeals to you? Yeah, that's true. That much is true. Okay, say no more. That's cool. Any, like, a major in mind or any field that you're thinking of going into?
Maybe social sciences.
Social sciences. Cool.
Or communication, so I can be just like you.
Yes, you can be just like you. Lose all your hair, and you'll be just... No, that'd be great. Can you, like, radio or TV sort of thing? Or?
We'll see.
Okay. See what's still going on at that point. Now, Alex, someone out there plays along with you. You cooperate with them. You know, someone on the phone will call in.
All right.
Okay, so it's a general knowledge quiz, as I'm sure you know. And hi, Sarah.
Hi, Michael.
Or you're all wrapped up in your little...
I am,
I know.
That's
the biggest scarf yet.
No, it's always cold in here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's almost a serape, that scarf.
It is. Yeah. It's a moo-moo of a scarf.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how does someone play along with Alec?
People who want to play along, pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
I do?
Yes, you
okay,
do.
Okay, here it is. If an old English speaker reminds you of Yuletide, what is he or she reminding you of? Now, you're speaking to someone who's... There are still a few old English speakers around, I'm sure, and they use the word Yuletide. What are they trying to remind you of in their old English way? If you know, give us a call here. Let's go to the phones right now. Kearney's on the line from Louisiana. Are you there?
Remind you of your time.
Yes. Oh, I can hear myself in retrospect. Hi. Kearney?
Yeah, this is Kearney.
How are you?
Hey, pretty good. I hear you got a Packer fan up there, eh?
Yeah.
Yep.
We got it.
Hey, go back.
Yes. Yeah. You too?
Yeah, oh, yeah, since 1958.
Since 58, the golden years.
I just got married about a month and a half ago. I'm 55 years old and still a Packer fan.
And the marriage didn't affect that at all, you're saying?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We still eat a lot of cheese, and
okay.
And we're trying to get Brett Favre up in there.
Yeah.
And,
is this Fred? Is this Fred?
Hey, I hear you know a friend of mine.
This is Fred. Fred, I told you not to call. Fred.
I just thought I'd try to get on because I heard you had a Packer fan up
all
there.
All right, Fred, I'll give you one chance here. What does Yeartide mean to an old English speaker?
What's that?
Yeartide.
Yeartide?
Yeah.
Of an English speaker?
Right, okay. he'll be back. Don't worry, that's Fred. He always poses different people.
He loves the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Paul's online from Woodstock, Illinois. Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you driving somewhere? It sounds like you might be out somewhere.
I am driving home from a Toastmasters meeting.
Toastmasters. That's great. Are you a Toastmaster yourself?
I am. I'm a member. I have been for quite a while.
Yeah.
With public speaking.
Public speaking. Then do you each get to Toastmaster a meeting? Is that how it works? Or how does that work?
The Toastmaster of the day is the person who actually runs the meeting, like the MC of the meeting.
Yeah.
But all of us who are members are considered Toastmasters, and we get to work on our prepared speech, evaluation, and off-the-cuff speaking skills.
Cool. Can you throw a few jokes in there so you get a whole shtick?
Occasionally I'll throw a joke in.
Yeah, start with a joke. Take one of mine. They're not used. Paul. Is it Paul?
Yes,
Paul. Yeartide. If you're speaking with an old English Toastmaster and he reminds you of Yeartide, what does that word mean to you?
I'm guessing, and this is just a guess, that it might be something dealing with New Year's Eve.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not it.
Yule comes after Yuletide? No.
That's a good guess, but it's wrong. Sorry. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Now we got Ray here in Gurdon, Arkansas. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you?
Fine. Doing good.
Yeah, we got fine. Thank you. We got someone here from Fayetteville. Is that any close to where you are?
Well, not too awful far, I don't reckon. I'm driving a big truck and I just pulled off the side of the road.
Oh,
I traveled the whole 48.
Oh, you do. What have you got back there, Ray?
Got some automobile parts.
Yeah. Did you ever look at the stuff, or it's not your concern, really, I suppose?
Oh, well, I always look for the next load.
Oh, yeah. For the next load. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray, you're talking with an old English speaker. An old English word. He uses the word yeartide. Does that possibly mean anniversary?
Yes.
It does. That's right. He pulled off the road. Come on.
Yeah, I'm on the road. I'm on the side of the road.
Okay, because there's money out of your pocket while you're wasting time here, so I got to give you something. I'll throw you a bone. That's cool.
Yeah.
Where are you headed to, Ray?
Wind up in Laredo, Texas.
Yeah, really? Okay. Is that where you're supposed to be, or is that just where you're going to wind up?
Well, I got two stops between here and there.
You do? Are you on time? Am I holding up?
No, I've got plenty of time on the weekend. Most time on weekends, you got plenty of time.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Ray, this is Alec. He's a young man and pretty smart. So he's your partner here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, I'm pretty dumb, so we ought to get along. All right.
Alec, Ray, did you say hello? Say hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello,
okay.
Alec.
There you go. Okay. Now, you guys work as a team and answer various questions. We have these categories that Sarah will tell us about.
Yep, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Ray, you pick the first one. What would you like?
People, places, I guess.
There are two different things, people and then there's places.
Oh, okay.
Which would you like? Places? People? People?
Yeah.
Okay, people. Percentage of American workers who sit all day at work, is it 73%, 86%, or 99.9%? American workers who sit all day at work, the job basically, they sit at it. Talk it over there, Alec. I know you've probably never worked, huh?
Nah, Dan.
Well, see, I sit 99% of the time.
Yeah, Ray's got to sit because if you stand in there, it gets a little awkward, I think.
What do you think, Alex? 86?
I'm thinking the middle one.
86? 86 is right. Yes. Whoa. Okay, you guys. This is a good combination. 86%. Americans sit 13 hours a day. So that's on
that's
average.
A one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school,
you
science.
Should do the show standing up.
What category would you like, Alex?
You're
going to be good in communication, so. Very communicative.
Things I should have learned in school.
Okay, should have learned this. For example, how many backup teeth does a dinosaur have in a single socket? Up to 3, up to 6, or up to 9 backup teeth in a dinosaur tooth socket?
So, like,
that was just a little bit before my time.
Just a bit, though, right? Up to 3, up to 6, yeah, up to 9?
I am 80 years old.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah, August 7th, 1933. I will be next month.
Stop it. You are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a guy. That's great. Up to 3, up to 6, up to 9. Teeth.
What do you think, Alex? 9?
9 is right. Yeah. Can't wait for Alec all day. You know, he can't keep up with this
I
guy.
Was just about to agree with you.
Can't keep up with Ray. Okay,
that's 2 right and 0 wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to you, Ray.
Oh, my goodness. Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This could be anything. The youngest zip code in the United States of America, the youngest zip code, youngest average age in the zip code, is it 56593 in Wolf Lake, Minnesota, 60539 in Moose Heart, Illinois, or 86021 in Colorado City, Arizona?
Wow.
That's a pretty easy one. That's a stupid one. Let me give you something else. Yeah, here. Here's the one. Is your spider bite, people think they have spider bites all the time. I want to know, is your spider bite actually a spider bite or not?
No.
No.
Why do you say that, Alec?
You don't see too many spiders around.
Spider's mouth is not big enough to bite you.
That's a daddy long way.
Yeah.
Spiders don't have a big enough mouth to bite you.
Okay. Go along with that, Alec?
Works for me.
Works for him? Yes, they're no. It's very, they don't bite people. That's something else. You ought to check it out. Holy cow, they won the quiz. Come on. He's on the side of the road there. He's 80 years old, driving a truck. He's got to go to Laredo. This is great. Ray, congratulations. Alec, nice job. What have they won?
Alec, you and a friend can cast off on a river adventure with a group paddle from Three Rivers Outdoors, in downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin's premier store for the outdoor enthusiast. Ray, start your day like our audience does with Steep & Brew's Breakfast Blend and stay in the moment with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can enjoy rock and roll with some pop sensibilities and punk energy on the CD Wild Was Our Mercy by Flatfoot on the Rex Road label. And read up on the music of the Spheres in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Alec, good man.
Thank you very much.
Nice talking with you. Good luck in that career, whatever it is. Ray, thanks for playing. Did a great job.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace on September 13th. Upcoming guests include S. Carey performing live on September 20th. For more ticket and guest information, just click over to notmuch.com. Coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know, we meet a Minnesota mayor who's still in kindergarten. Plus, another hilarious round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, that's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a mayoral place to be with preschool politician Bobby Tufts. Plus, we have no trouble booting up some memos and bullseye another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who just gets junk mail and Snowden asylum requests, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay, I'm coming. I'll be right there. Okay. Oh, yeah. Just doing my taxes. I got an extension. I was trying to get this finished, but I do this. You know, each week at this time, I read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. Yes, that's right. Okay. And let's see here. This one, I guess, this time has come, I guess. Okay. Let's do this one. Reads as follows. It is about the Slowness outage. And it reads as follows. As most know, today we experience a period of slowness and sporadic outage with various system resources. At approximately 11:10, a command was issued inadvertently to all PCs for them to reboot. A technician was attempting to reboot a single computer but accidentally sent the command to all computers. The capability to do this being changed so a selection of this size will no longer be available except under a higher authority. Once the PCs began rebooting, since they were all trying to authenticate and log in at the same time, it created what we call a boot storm. A flood of network traffic with a tremendous amount of PCs, around 3,600 today, tried to log in at the same time. This overwhelmed the authentication servers. You know what that's like once you do that. Where everyone's login credentials are checked, as well as flooded our storage environment with trying to access the shared drives. So we had a twofold impact on services across the network. The first alleviated itself with people eventually logging in after about an hour, but because of the requests on the storage systems and the way it also authenticates, the slowness was extended. When a PC tries to map a drive to our storage system, those storage systems also authenticate the request from our users. This is how we maintain the permissions on files that we keep, so the proper security in all our files, as well as other contents such as PACS images. Naturally. As we were having issues with everyone logging in, the authentication requests from the storage system were also adding to this. However, the storage system, stay with me here, the storage system wasn't getting the response it expected, and many of those requests became clogged in the system. These clogged requests caused the storage system to stop responding, so we rebooted to clear the hung processes, and we came back up. The time it took to get authentication working and clear these processes was an additional 2 hours. We are working with our storage vendor, even as we speak, to investigate an option to preempt this type of hanging of the processes to possibly proactively shut down this authentication process when we have issues that cause a boot storm, then bring it back up when we are past the majority of network traffic. We will continue to hone our processes and look for better ways to do things so we eliminate the chances of these types of inadvertent issues happening. If you have any questions, please email me. Thanks, yours truly. Thank you very much for that memo on the much-dreaded boot storm. Whoa, anyone ever have a boot storm? Be in a boot storm?
Perfect. I think they need a
perfect boot storm?
Digital catheter.
Well, you had to be here to really appreciate that remark. And even then, I guess most people didn't. I appreciate that. Where might one send these memos?
People who have such scintillating memos can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Did you say scintillating?
Scintillating.
Oh, okay. And then, okay, they can send it to there, or mm-hmm. they can mail them in. A lot of people actually use the mail yet. Mm-hmm. I know you don't. But
no, I do. I do.
You do?
Yep.
The occasional mail?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Snail mail, even though?
Yep, with stamps and everything.
Oh, yep. Well, where would they mail it then to?
821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Okay, very good. And don't forget our website. You know, you can find all the stuff you need to know at our website.
That's right.
Where is that again?
That is notmuch.com.
Notmuch.com?
Notmuch.com.
You end up being Canadian at the strangest time.
I know. It breaks through.
It breaks through. We have the mayor of Dorset, Minnesota. I'm very happy to have him on. He is 4 years old. It's a little unusual. He's seeking re-election. He's Bobby is now, let's see, I don't think he's in school yet. Bobby Tufts, but he's seeking a second term. Dorset, Minnesota is a small town, I think 100 or 200 people possibly, but he's officially the mayor. We have him online with us now. Mayor Bobby's online. His mom, Emma, is with him. And Mayor Bobby, how are you this morning?
Good.
How are things going? Pretty good. What's it like being mayor? Is that kind of a cool thing to be?
Yeah.
What do you get to do? Do you have, like, duties that you have to do as mayor?
Yeah.
What sorts of things?
Promote little businesses.
Businesses?
Yep.
You mean you go to the businesses and you make an appearance there and tell them who you are and wish them well and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I bet you do a lot of fishing, too, don't you, up there? That's like a lot of fishing goes on in town, doesn't it, in Dorset? Yeah. Do you like to fish?
Yeah.
But you're catch and release? Because I saw a picture of you, and you were actually kissing the fish that you caught.
Yeah.
Do you kiss every fish that you catch?
Yeah.
That's cool. You kiss them, and then you put them back in the water?
But when they get away, I don't kiss.
Naturally, they got away, but if they would have got caught, they would have got kissed by you and then put back in, right?
Okay.
Okay. Do you eat fish, too?
Yep.
You do? What's your favorite fish?
Walleye.
Oh, walleye. That's my favorite, too. They're great. They're really good.
Yeah, they're mean fighters.
They're mean fighters? Yeah. Have you caught a walleye?
Yeah.
Wow. It was hard to pull them in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I understand you like ice cream a lot, too. As mayor, do you have to eat a lot of ice cream?
Yeah.
You do?
I can't hear him good.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No, because I was thinking not on speakerphone anymore.
Oh, you can't hear me on speakerphone?
No. Yes, I can hear you on speakerphone, but I think I pressed the speakerphone button with my cheek.
Oh.
No. Speakerphone button with my cheek.
Yeah. Do you like being mayor? Do you think you want to be mayor when you grow up and be, you know, like mayor of a city or a governor?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. No. Are you in school? Are you in preschool now? Or?
No, I'm in 3-year-old program.
You're in the 3-year-old program?
I start in the fall.
Oh, you start in the fall. Oh, yeah. What kind of things do you do in that program? Do you know?
Play.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
ABCs, play,
oh,
eat.
Cool. Play and eat and ABCs. That sounds good, actually. They mentioned in one of the stories, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but do you have a girlfriend, too?
Yeah.
Do you want to mention her name?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I can't hear him.
Oh.
I
can hear him here. Hang on. There,
yeah.
Try that.
Try that.
There. Can you hear now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Sophie is your girlfriend, right?
There you go. Try that. Sophia?
Yeah.
Better? Yeah. And how do you know Sophie?
I know her for a long time, even when I was a baby.
Even when you were a baby, so you grew up together.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Do you like the same things? The same brand of ice cream, or the same type of ice cream. What's your flavor of ice cream, for example?
Chocolate. Strawberry, vanilla, butter, brickle, pickle.
Butter, brickle, and pickle?
Yeah.
There's a pickle ice cream?
Yeah.
No.
Butter pickle.
That'd be kind of cool, having ice cream with like dill pickles in it or something like that, or sweet pickles maybe be better.
Yeah, the pickles I like.
Yeah, the pickles, yeah. So you're an ice cream and you like pickles.
Yep.
Sometimes you combine them together. And do you wear a black hat or something when you make appearances as mayor?
Yeah.
Was that your idea?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Are you wearing it right now?
No.
Okay. Do you have, like, is there something you have to do today as mayor, something, like, official that you have to be at?
Well, maybe go give me a bag of candy, maybe.
Well, tell them what you're going to do today.
Yeah.
Go on, be the grand marshal.
You're going to what?
Be the grand marshal.
Oh, the grand marshal. Is there a parade?
Yep.
Oh, what's the parade?
Muskie Days.
Muskie Days?
Yep.
Oh, how cool.
You can catch lots of muskies on Muskie Days after Muskie Days.
Yeah. Did you ever catch a muskie? Because those are hard to catch, aren't they?
Yeah. You have to use a bulldog.
You have to what?
A bulldog.
A bird dog?
Bulldog.
A bulldog.
Yeah, that's a muskie hook.
Oh, a muskie hook is a bulldog. I know nothing. I've never caught a muskie. I only catch, I've caught little, you know, panfish and that sort of thing.
Panfish?
Yeah, you know, bluegills.
Yeah, probably bluegills or panfish.
Yeah, smaller ones. I never caught anything big like a muskie. Did you ever catch a muskie?
No.
Boy, that would be something. They're pretty big fish, aren't they?
Yeah, if they're babies, I could reel them in.
Yeah, if they're babies, you could reel them in.
And but I'm going to use a baby bulldog.
A baby bulldog hook.
Bulldog.
A bass bulldog, too?
Yeah. What are you trying to do, Mama?
Yeah. So you're quite a fisherman, really?
Yeah.
They call you the fishing mayor, I guess, of Dorset. And how did everybody in town vote for you? They must have voted for you if you get you to be mayor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any opposition this time around? Is anyone else running for mayor?
Yeah.
Who else is running? Do you know the person?
People.
Lots of people are going. You think you're going to win again?
Yeah.
I think so. You're very popular.
Is that the fear phone you were talking on?
The what? Oh, that's your mom, Emma. Hi, Emma. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. So you got parade duty today. What time is the parade?
It starts at 5:30.
Oh, okay.
So
it's a pretty big deal, huh?
It is. There's a meet and greet ahead of time, and it's a local festival with like 36 bands in 2 days. And
no kidding.
Yeah.
And I understand that Bobby just loves doing the meet and greet stuff, right?
He does. Most of the time he really gets excited about it.
Yeah. You have any reservations as a mom of having your son being a 4-year-old mayor?
On the phone. occasionally it gets to be a little overwhelming for him, but he doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do, so.
Yeah. They got to go, Mama. Okay, I'll let you go. Thanks very much, Emma. Thank you, Mayor Bobby.
All right.
Mayor Bobby Tufts.
Oh, he's gone. Sorry.
Okay, he's gone. Of Dorset, right. Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you.
The mayor's got business. The mayor has got business. Okay. I guess it was 200 people in Dorset? No, Dorset, population 22 to 28, depending upon whether the minister and his family are in town. But it is the restaurant capital of the world. Apparently, they have a lot of restaurants for a town with 28. I guess everyone's in the restaurant business, works there, and a lot of good fishing, too. Okay. Okay.
To go to a city council meeting there.
Yeah. I'm not sure they have. Mostly, you know, he's at ribbon cuttings and that sort of thing.
He rules by edict.
He does?
Yeah.
Fiat.
Fiat, yes.
All right, so there you have it, the mayor of Dorset, Mayor Bobby Tufts. Okay, then, there. Now we're back here again.
Yes,
and
we are.
Looking for some musical insights here.
Yes, well, hopefully we can give you some then.
Yeah. What were you thinking about?
Well, we're just going to...
were you thinking?
I hear that a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know.
My
whole life, I hear people saying, what were you thinking?
Yeah, you got air conditioning down there in your Chicago place?
Right? I got last summer, we got central air, so.
Oh, you did?
I don't have to carry those air conditioners up and down from the basement and kill my back.
Why would you do that anyway? Wouldn't you just install it and leave it wherever?
No, it gets cold in the winter. My windows aren't that good. You got to take it out. So.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I don't have to.
Well, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Yeah.
All right. So this tune, now tell us about it. Is this one you wrote?
No.
It's a classic, though, isn't it?
It is a classic, yeah. One of the classic recordings is by Chet Baker. sang it. But and also this tune is it's kind of a request from Sarah. She loves this tune. So.
Chet, she's a big Chet Baker.
She's
fan.
A big Chet Baker fan. Yeah. She loves Chet.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do it. It's called "Let's Get Lost."
Great song.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. All right, then. Let's go in the audience again there. Looking at your feeble winnings there.
Yes.
Okay. You can sell the book, maybe.
Well, I'm going to keep it just because you wrote it.
Well, thank you so much. Why do you say that with such menace? I don't understand what you've got against me. What did I ever do to you? How are you doing? Pretty good?
Fine. Thanks. Fine. Yeah. Fine.
Now you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. After what? Well, you want to stand up here so that people know I'm not doing both voices. Yeah.
40 years.
40 years of what? Hard labor?
Teaching chemistry and physics at Monona Grove.
Yeah. Has chemistry changed in those years? I mean, do you have to learn different, of course, new periodic table, new elements?
Add the elements, but as far as the organization and the flow of the periodic table, it pretty well stays the same. The 1s, 2s, 3. 2P levels, 3D levels, 4F levels, and all of that.
Are you insulting me, or what are you saying? I have no idea what you're saying. You give me, like, Alex stuff here.
These are the levels of the periodic tables.
What do the levels mean?
Well, there are different ways that they react with other chemicals.
Oh, the reagent sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, the metals on one side, the left side, the nonmetals on the right side.
Ferrous and non-ferrous?
Yes.
This is all I know. I'm really reaching for all.
You were an English teacher, weren't you?
Yeah,
that's right. We had the, they were on the first floor, and the English teachers.
Yeah, we never really talked with you guys. I can see why now. Actually, it's not.
They never came up to the, to the heights, to the science department.
No. Okay.
So you're, that was.
Yeah. But I mean, it's chemistry is pretty much the same still. But there's new branches of chemistry.
Yes.
Probably in 40 years, there's a whole new. Branches of chemistry.
Well, chemistry and physics are kind of, unifying the ideas in chemistry and in physical chemistry and organic chemistry. It's becoming a single subject, more or less, especially in the lower levels. In college, of course, chemistry is, when you're very specific, you're into the chemical.
You get your organic people.
Yeah, organic people. Yeah. But mostly I'm a physics teacher.
Oh, physics, okay.
Yes, mostly, that was
and
my...
physics goes into mathematics, doesn't it?
Yes. So it's one...
So what the heck world. Are you? What have you been doing for 40 years? Yeah. Have you been doing math?
Physics and chemistry in two different sections. Juniors, chemistry, seniors, physics.
Yeah. Because we get physics people from the university coming in here so often, and they're all competing branches of, to get the plasma people.
Yes, very, very specific.
Yeah, you really can't talk to a plasma person. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I noticed that. I also, in high school, we have to teach it all. Mostly classic and.
What do you lean towards as far as physics go? Are you more of a plasma guy, more of a.
I'm an atomic and nuclear physics guy. That's my interest. Yeah, but when you're in high school, you don't really specialize that much.
No, you don't, because you don't want to overwhelm them.
No, I never overwhelm them. Yeah. I'm afraid.
Now, so how does and retirement?
Retirement is wonderful. I'm live between California and Madison. And
how do you do that? What is between there? Omaha?
It's a flyover country.
You live in Omaha, okay. And then what else?
In California, live in Madison, and part-time in the summertime.
How do you do that?
When the snow starts to fall, we go back to California.
I thought you'd come here for the snow, wouldn't you?
I would, but...
Some people don't care for the snow so much. Because as you always hear people say, I miss the change of season. I miss the snow. Not you, though.
I think I would, but as I said, the person I live with doesn't.
So, and where do you live in California?
In Avila Beach. It's halfway. San Francisco's on top. L.A. is in the bottom. We're right in the middle by Pismo Beach. And
cool.
San Luis Obispo, where Cal Poly is. Cal Poly played football here.
Unfortunately, they did,
And they almost beat the University of
Wisconsin. Well, I remember that game. That was very close.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Well, very Very nice to have you. And your name once again?
Bill Ziegler.
Bill Ziegler, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you here, Bill. I'll see you out at the beach there, though. Have you got any guest facilities there at the beach?
You can come at our house anytime.
I know I can come there, but can I stay is the question.
Certainly. We could do the show from your house, from our house.
We could, really.
It's a mile off the beach, and I think you would enjoy that.
Well, who wants to do a show there? I don't want to come to do a show there. I want to come there and just hang out and enjoy the It's a nice beach and everything, right?
Beautiful beach. Beautiful beach.
You do like surfing and all that stuff?
Yeah, right.
Body surfing or
what? Body watching.
Okay, explain that on the ride home. All right, okay, all right now. Is Alec related to you?
He's my nephew.
Your nephew, yeah. Has he always been like this?
Pretty much.
What are you going to do, huh?
One of your fishing buddies, Lynn.
Lynn Blanker. You know, are you from, he's from Stevens Point, around there, actually. He's from Blanker, actually.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where he's from, but he used to be my current neighbor's old roommate. And so I met him through them.
That's what everyone says about Lynn. My current neighbor's old roommate. That's what he's known as by a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's really
kind
nice.
Of guy. Yeah,
good guy.
He would have gone along with the mayor. Here's someone put on their card, how does one remain anonymous on this show? Easy enough. Caroline Templeton is here with the three generations of the Bone family. That's it? The three of you? That's smaller than I thought it would be. It sounded really good on paper. There's just three of them. That's pretty good, though. You get all three generations in one compact space. Let's go meet the Bones. Are you doing pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah. How are you?
Fine. Still vertical.
Still vertical. Okay. I'm starting to say stuff like that, too. At a certain age, we start saying things like that. You know?
That's right, yeah.
Still vertical. How are you? Good.
Doing good.
Still horizontal?
Yeah.
Your age? You should be. It's a good thing. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good to see you. The Bones? Yeah. It's the Bones. Three generations of Bones, ladies and gentlemen. Can I get you up? Let's see what that looks like. Three generations of Bones. So should we start with you? Are you the elder generation?
I am. Well, my father's 98 and a half, so he's still working.
Is he?
I've been retired for a long time.
Where is he working?
He's a physician in Illinois. He works in Springfield, lives in Jacksonville.
So the Bones are from the Springfield area? Is that, can we say that?
From the Jacksonville area, yeah, west of Springfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you, so which Bone are you?
I'm David. I'm a retired judge.
Retired judge. Could you retire from that? I thought it was like the mafia. If you're a judge, you can't really retire, can you?
There's a point where you've had enough.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What sort of judge were you?
I hope I was a good one.
Various types, aren't there?
Right. I was a circuit judge.
Circuit judge?
I guess you have circuit judges here in Wisconsin?
No, I haven't seen one, so I imagine we do. I hope I don't find out.
General jurisdiction, yeah.
Circuit judge, yeah.
I've heard him referred to as Hanging Judge Bone.
Judge Bone doesn't sound, you know, I don't think I want to appear before Judge Bone. It's not the kind of thing you think, oh boy, Judge Bone is hearing my case. But that, so, okay, that's good. And then now, so this, then, you are?
I'm Caroline, his daughter.
Caroline?
Yes.
And where, what and where are you?
I live in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have my daughter, Margaret, here.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you having a good summer?
Yeah. My grandpa just came over from Illinois yesterday, and he brought a viola, so we need to get that repaired for me, and that's pretty much it.
That's cool. Do you play the viola?
No, I haven't learned yet, but I'm kind of learning on my own.
As of yesterday, yeah, she's a viola player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you excited about it?
Yes, I'm okay. It's very easy, but I just need to work on the tuning a little bit.
And so forth.
Yes.
And all the other stuff, the bowing and all that. And
tuning isn't very good.
Do you play an instrument now?
Yes. I don't think I play any other instrument. I do a sport, karate.
Oh, you do karate. Okay. Does that help with the viola, you think?
Well,
some of the chops on it?
No. I'm more likely breaking my viola than...
What level are you in karate? Do you have the various belts or something?
I have a yellow gold. I mean a yellow black.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
How many years have you been doing it?
About 2-3.
Yeah, karate playing, a karate viola player.
Yes.
Your name again is?
Margaret.
Caroline.
And what are we doing, Caroline?
I'm a registered nurse at the Peds Clinic, so I stab little children all day.
Okay, wonderful. There you have it, the Bones in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. Three generations of Bones. What a nice group. What are we going to give the Bones?
Well, that's a great question. For the youngest Bone, how about she could learn and have fun at the same time with the Flashmaster, which is a handheld computer that makes math flashcards obsolete. And then for the elder Bones and the middle Bone, they could beat the Midwestern summer heat with scrumptious wines from the Wollersheim Winery, producers of award-winning wines of international renown.
There you go. Thank you, Bone. Very nice to meet you all. Judge Bone, in case you go back to it, I'm going to be nice to him. Jim Conkle is here from Franklin, Wisconsin. So, oh, that's you, huh? How are you?
Fine, fine.
Still vertical?
Yes.
Can you drive, too?
No.
I'd need a Pope mobile or something if you can drive standing up, and that doesn't...
Yeah, something like that.
Open your sunroof and stand up. And.
Oh, I don't have a sunroof.
You don't have a sunroof?
No. No. Okay.
What are you driving?
Prius.
A Prius? Oh, okay. So I said, all right, Jim. Since retiring, do I drive slower or is everyone driving faster? But you're driving a Prius, so it's not even like driving.
Well, it is, but I slow down a lot.
You slow down because you're driving a Prius and you're trying to get 50 miles to the gallon, right?
I do without any problem, yeah.
Oh, sure you do. They all say that. Not without any problem because you're always in front of me and you got a problem. If you're driving like at 27 miles an hour because that'll get you through all the stoplights without stopping, right?
What I drove 75 coming here from Franklin.
There's stoplights on I-94 or whatever.
Well, when the light is red a half a block ahead, then I take my foot off the accelerator.
I notice that.
Slow down, yes. So then I can go through without stopping.
Yes, I know. Doesn't that strike you that it might be a little bit annoying to anyone behind you who's trying to drive, 5 miles over? Big deal.
Why do they try to get to the right to the light before it turns green?
Because they're not driving a Prius, that's why, and they got to get somewhere, you can...
Well, I drove that when I drove larger cars, yeah, I drove the same way. Yeah.
Do you keep track of your mileage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what's the best... Did. You always did, okay. Is it better now than it used to be? Have some things improved? Your mileage has improved, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
What's your record so far in your Prius?
52.
52?
Right.
You get 50 without any problem. If you really annoy everyone behind you, the 16 people behind you, you get an extra 2 miles to the gallon.
That's correct, yeah.
Hey, what is that? $6. I'll give you the $6. Stop doing it.
Well, no, I won't.
Good to meet you.
Okay, thank you.
That's Jim Conkle. He's a great guy, but don't get behind him, Chris. And you are?
I'm Elaine Conkle. I'm very well. I'm very glad to be
here. To drive with? I mean, when you're next to him and he's...
He's wonderful. He's a very safe driver.
It's wonderful. You're made for each other. It takes a special woman to be with a Prius driver. Huh? Where are all your hipsters? Ron from Akron. Do we have hipsters in Wisconsin? Oh, that's you. Hey, I got to go back here again. Excuse me. Are you any hipster? You have hipsters in Akron, right?
We have all kinds of hipsters in Akron. Walking around here, there's no ironic facial hair. And it's everywhere in Akron. So you have facial hair. It's just not ironic.
Yeah. Well, at what point does facial hair get ironic?
Well, it's like when they have the curly mustaches pulled up or the Grizzly Adams beard. Yeah. You have those here. They're just not ironic.
See, that's why we can't wrap our heads around that concept of when like this man, this man has a beard here.
Oh, it's not big enough. It would have to be bigger than that.
Can you make your beard a little more ironic? Okay.
But no, it'd be serious though here.
Yeah.
Like this gentleman's mustache there. Yeah. That you'd have that.
That's a good mustache.
Yeah.
Right?
But it'd be on like a 22-year-old, and it would be ironic.
But he can't help that. That's unfair to accuse him of not being.
He's being serious with that mustache. he means that. Yeah, no, it's not ironic. So,
and is that true of dress as well? I mean, what is?
Yeah, you'd have to have a plaid shirt with pearlized snaps. Remember those?
Yes.
Yeah, and then little ankle boots for men.
What about no pants or you?
Jeans and yeah.
Probably either ironic
probably,
jeans.
Yeah, probably colored like bright yellow or red.
No one like that around town. Do we have?
You're just not hanging out in the right parts of town, man.
Okay.
We got lots of hipsters around.
You
here.
You do?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Sarah has hipsters. The rest of us don't.
We were in Chicago and there were no hipsters around there either. It was very strange.
The closer you get to Brooklyn, I think is sort of how it works, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah. That's, we have all kinds of them in Akron.
Okay, that's surprising. Thank you very much, Ron. Yep. Ron from Akron, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hipster Report. We're looking for him. Oh, what do the women do? How do the women get ironic?
Probably a floral prints that look a little bit older. I don't know.
All right, work on that, will you? Oh, she just took off her wrap, whatever it was. All right, excuse me. Jessica Cook from Minneapolis. Why do you live in Wisconsin? Jessica, what's the intention behind that question? Why do I live in Wisconsin? You know, the nut fell from the tree. Here it is, you know.
Well, I'm the Viking fan living with the Packer fans.
Oh, so. You're with these guys.
Yeah. So.
So? What's the point?
Not much of a point, really.
Okay, really, okay. But you guys certainly come to Wisconsin a lot.
I love Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, you do. Okay.
Yep.
This is just posturing.
Exactly. Where do you think Alec gets it from?
I don't know, but I know where it's going, too. All right. Thank you. And you are?
Jessica.
Jessica, ladies and gentlemen. She loves it here. She's just kidding about that. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because some of you didn't get a chance last time, and I can't guarantee you will this time either. But anyone who would think, yes, this gentleman in back there, are you saying, sir, that you would like to play the What Do You Know quiz?
Yes.
Well, I'll meet you down here at this corner if you want to come down there. We'll find out if you qualify, because not everyone does. Can you squeeze through there? Oh, I bet you couldn't either. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And you are?
Jason.
Jason? You just use the one name?
Well, it's Jason with two N's.
Jason with two N's. That's cool. That's kind of hip.
Yeah, I guess my mom was hip, not me.
What do you do these days, Jason?
Well, I'm kind of a jack of all trades, but I'm also a teacher. So congratulations on your retirement. You got out at the right time.
He's a pre-retirement teacher, an unusual friend. Jason, you got to give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Well, one of my wife and I's, today's our anniversary, and one of our first dates was to come to this show about 12 and a half years ago.
And you survived that.
You know, oddly enough, that made a good impression.
Yeah, where's your wife?
Right back there.
Yeah. Hi, she's hiding out back there. Okay, all right, that's pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, a little encouragement, ladies and gentlemen. It's not easy when you have two N's and your name is Jason. All right, come on up here. Have a seat there, Jason. Was this the first date? Is that what you're saying?
It was one of our first dates.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What was the one before this?
Well, the one before that, our first date was, we just went and shot darts.
You shot darts?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So naturally, this would be a good follow-up to any, like a dart-throwing date.
Well, yeah. It was a few weeks after that, yeah. But she got a little tipsy when we were shooting darts, and I said, I think we got something to work with here. That was...
Yeah. So that was the first date, or pretty close?
The dart throwing?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and she had her own darts, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, she brought her darts to the bar?
She had her own darts.
That's
was awesome.
That's what you want to look for in a mate.
You know, at that stage of my life, that made a pretty good impression.
No, I can see it.
Yeah.
Having your own darts is really a big deal. That's like having your own pool cue, you know, it's one that
right.
breaks down in two, and you take it out of, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had my own darts, too.
You had your own darts, too?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
made in heaven.
Well, we didn't even know that at the time.
No. Did you just meet at that
no,
tavern? Or
no,
tavern?
But it just happened that she had her own darts, and I was like, hey, I've got my own, too. And you know, it was just.
It's a basis.
It was a start, yeah.
Yeah. No. So, but where did you meet her before the whole dart incident?
Well, actually, it's a somewhat interesting story.
We'll see.
She's shaking her head.
Well, interesting to us, at least.
Yeah, not to her so much.
We had both of us had other careers, and then we decided to become teachers. Mm-hmm. And we went back to school and studied education. We already had our degrees.
This is before you knew each other?
This was before we knew each other, okay. And we wound up having a class together. Oh. And, she wound up getting a job teaching in Florida, and I, where I am now. And
where are you now?
In a suburb of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And she found out that I was in the area. She had moved back to Wisconsin, also in the Milwaukee area, mm-hmm. and she kind of tracked me down. And,
she did?
Yeah, yep.
And so you made an impression.
I guess, you know, a couple of years before that, and
Just from knowing you in class?
Just from knowing me in class. We had talked a couple of times, and then she actually kind of asked me out a little bit, and she was the first time ever. She's batting 1,000.
What is her name? We can't keep calling her she. What is it?
Laurel.
Laurel. Hey, Laurel. Sorry about
this.
This
wasn't my intention to tell the story, sweetie.
Sorry,
Laurel. I didn't see this coming.
Let's get to the interesting part now.
she found a Post-it note with my name on it, and that's how she found out I was in the area.
Did you leave them around? Is that a tactic?
Well, it was one out of a million, so somebody was bound to find one, right?
Yeah. She found a Post-it note with your name on it, and that sort of sealed the deal for her, and she looked you up from Florida?
She was already back in Wisconsin at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did she happen to have your Post-it note?
I wanted to take a field trip to a location to Chicago. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
And I called her predecessor in the job, and the Post-it note, when she took over that person's materials, was still there with my name on it. And she's like,
sticking to a folder.
Yeah, sticking to a folder or a book or whatever, and said, oh, I know that person.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
Yeah.
And her friend said, if you like him, you're going to have to call him, or I'm not going to talk to you until you do it. So Laurel's, she's more of a shy person, and so that was a big step for her, and it worked out.
Big step. Worked out great. Yeah, for you too, Laurel.
Isn't that sweet? That's a sweet Post-it story, love story. Come on,
it's a love story.
It's a little corny. I don't usually tell it too often.
You know what? You could sell that story to the Post-it people.
Maybe.
Imagine that would be a terrific thing. It would be like a series of vignettes.
I think probably somebody heard it and already sold it. I think it's probably gone.
No, but I think that's a special story. That's great. And then you had the one date. Then we got together and then you did the dart thing. And then did you both have what do you know in common then?
Well, you start to have conversations, and you.
Yeah, but that ends pretty quick.
Yeah, and it's like, well, no. And then, you just find out that you have mutual interests, and then I just said, I'm going to pick you up on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And, I'm just going to surprise you. We're going to take a little day trip, and that's what I did. And she goes, we're coming here, because she had said that she liked it, and I liked the show, too, and... So I thought today was our anniversary. I thought, I surprised her again this morning. So
Isn't that great? That's just a touching story. That's very, yes, okay, all right. Well, that's very cool. Well, I'm glad you made it back, and I'm glad you made it here in the first place. So I'm glad we helped.
Yeah, you helped a lot, Mike.
Good. Let me know if I do anything more I can do, because I'm a radio host. I'm here to help.
I'll think about it.
All right, Jason, someone out there plays along with you. That's how this works, right, Sarah?
That is correct, yep.
Elaborate.
Well, if people would like to play the quiz, they go to their phones, they pick them up, and they dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
So you know a lot of hipsters, do you?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately?
Yeah, I don't know if I know them. I certainly spot them. They're quite easy to spot, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mike, and I thought of something.
Huh?
I thought of some way you could help me.
What?
We're looking to try a new restaurant tonight for dinner here in the Madison area.
I'll cook for you guys. I should cook for you guys.
Well, it was, if you have trouble getting the ingredients for whatever you want to cook, if you could just suggest a nice restaurant
we'll
for
fix
us.
That.
That I would appreciate that.
Sure. Do you want me to come along? Or that ruin everything?
Let's just think about it for a little bit. And then,
do you want restaurant
helped so much
with
already,
or without
already,
hipsters?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, we'll get you some. That's for sure. Okay. All right, someone out there plays along with you, as I said, and there's a qualifying question. I have it right here. Yes, here it is. If your song gets played on Pandora, you know, Pandora is this service that supposedly gives you tunes that are like the ones you like, but if your song does get played on Pandora 1 million times, how much will you receive in a check for your royalties? Within how many dollars?
500.
Okay.
20.
Or $3 or $4?
$3 or $4. Within $3 or $4.
Within $3 or $4. Okay. So your song gets played a million times on Pandora. What sort of check will you receive in terms of royalties? And I'll tell you, it's not huge. I'll tell you that much. Nickel, was that right?
Howdy.
How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm good. It's Nickel with an N, right?
Correct. That's
okay.
Right.
I didn't get this wrong because Lyle gets things wrong sometimes. And you're there in Guilford.
Right.
Vermont.
Yep.
Are you up in the mountains, or where are you?
Sort of on the edge of the mountains. It's sort of over near the river, the Connecticut River. So we're not quite up in the mountains, but it's sort of hilly around here, yeah.
Yeah, sounds nice. So what do you got planned for today? What's going on in Guilford?
Well, we're having some folks over tomorrow. So actually this morning I made a big pot of chili, and this afternoon I'm going to make a pie.
Pot of chili and a pie. What sort of chili do you prefer? What do you make?
It's sort of basic. We lived in Texas for a while, so it's sort of basic Texas chili. It's just sort of meat and spices and tomatoes.
Okay. And pie-wise, what are you thinking?
I'm trying to decide between an apple pie and a cherry blueberry pie.
Ooh. That sounds good because you don't get it all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we're looking. I'll let you know how it comes out.
Okay. And can you, like, pick your own blueberries and stuff around there?
Yes, we can. And actually, the cherries are fresh, too. We don't pick them, but there's a place down south here that has a good selection of
cherries. How many say cherry blueberry? For Nickel. We're all thinking cherry blueberry.
All right. You should make, maybe Jason and Laurel should come over for their anniversary.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's see if we get any further in this. Now, your song plays on Pandora 1 million times. What sort of a measly little check do you receive for a million plays on Pandora?
I remember hearing something about this. As I recall, somebody got it was like a few tens of dollars. Like
two tens?
I was going to say four, but two sounds good.
So you're saying you only get something around $20 if you plays a million times on Pandora?
That's what I heard.
Well,
just some shockingly, less than the cost of a CD.
Yes, $16.89 you get for a million plays. If you nailed it, Michael, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. Do you listen to Pandora? Do you have Pandora?
No, actually, I don't. I do a lot of streaming radio.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, that's how I hear you. As a point of fact, I'm actually watching you now.
You are? Oh, you're out and watching on the video feed?
Yeah, and I want to say Laurel's pretty cute.
She's the cutest girl here that I can tell.
Yeah. Is the camera on Laurel now? Oh, that's good.
It was earlier.
Is it supposed to be on the host? That's okay. That's okay. Good choice. Nickel, Jason?
Hey, Jason. Happy anniversary.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck with your pies.
What do you do out there when you're not baking and cooking, Nickel?
Computer programmer.
You are, yeah.
And a basement woodworker.
Oh, no kidding. What are you working on right now?
I'm trying to get some bookcases. We have like a lot of books right now are sort of piled on tables around our chairs in the living room. So I'm trying to get something to hold those in a more presentable fashion.
Sounds good. Nickel and Jason, guys work together. You collaborate on this. We have these categories that Sarah will tell us.
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school. Had you been paying attention, science and odds and ends.
Okay, Nickel, what would you like? Pick first one.
Let's say science.
Science, let's say it. Okay, this is science. The smartest artificial intelligence system is only as smart as one of the following. Is it your brother-in-law, a four-year-old, or the guy talking to himself on the bus who does not have a phone? Smartest artificial intelligence so far. Completely artificial intelligent system.
Well, I would guess the least intelligent, which is probably, I don't want to make this sound nasty, but the four-year-old.
Okay. Four-year-old, he says?
Yeah. I guess that seems like the most credible answer to me, too.
Four-year-old is as smart as a four-year-old, which is actually pretty smart, as Amir, I think, has proved earlier. But that's as far as I've gotten so far. Okay, so you can have four-year-old or you can have artificial intelligence. That would be?
One right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason?
I'd like people.
People. Okay. All righty. Percentage of Americans who want to gain weight. 4%, 3%, or 2%?
How close do we have to get with our guess?
I don't know. I gave a lot of latitude earlier. Can't keep doing that. 4%, 3%, or 2% of Americans want to gain weight, not lose it.
Well, to me, it would be the most counterintuitive answer, maybe the 4%.
Ah, counterintuitive. Michael?
I don't like the tone in Michael's voice here.
Let me change it. I don't know what to do with my tone. I only got one tone. I can't really change it. He says 4%. He feels pretty good about it because he's counterintuitive here.
We'll go with Jason.
Yeah, 4%. 67% want to lose weight, and 29% are okay with their weight. So that would be...
Two right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And what's left is current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Back to you, Nigel.
Let's try places.
Places, okay. How many escalators are there in Wyoming? None, one, or two?
How close do we have to get on this answer, Michael?
Just be counterintuitive, you'll be fine.
I saw somebody had a T-shirt on that said yesterday, it said, escalators are for cowards. And it had something to, it made some reference to
the Wyoming. To Wyoming, really?
Yeah. But I think there are really few.
I would agree with you on that one, Michael.
Talk it over, gentlemen.
Well, I think it would have to be zero or one because that's or why two. It would really, or somewhere really close to that number.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just have a feeling
well,
that
you know,
it
might there's a common perception that may not, in fact, be accurate about the number of elevators in Wyoming. I'll tell you that much. So, zero, one, or two elevators in...
Well,
okay. Escalators, pardon me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just have a feeling that the plurality of the people here say escalators, and so I'm going to go with maybe two is my guess, if you would agree with that.
Because I didn't say how many escalator is there. Escalator is there in Wyoming. I would tip my hand.
Yeah. Far be it from you to tip your hand.
Far be it.
Well, I guess it's in your court there, Michael.
That sounds like one to me, if I'm reading the hints right.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You can overthink this, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm guessing two or zero.
Well, you know, we could take the Price is Right approach, and then if you pick two, you have everything above that as a possible answer. You're the closest one.
That's
whereas
really
if you take zero or one, you only have those possibilities.
And Jason's been right on everything, every guess so far.
So what are you going to say?
Two.
Two?
I
two is two. Right, yes, two elevators. They're both in Casper, and they're both in banks. Okay. All right, that wasn't hard. That was good.
Why do I feel tired?
Michael, they have three right.
Counterintuitive. They won.
They have, in fact, won, yes.
Oh, you dropped your pen. You're so excited. Well, we're at this juncture. Explain the juncture we're at, will you?
We are at the motherlode or no motherlode juncture.
Okay.
That means you could risk it all. One more question, with or without hints, with the possibility of going home with the mother load of prizes.
Is that Michael coming to dinner with us?
I can't speak for him.
No, that's not coming to dinner. All right, so then you get that. You quit here and win okay prizes. You go for the extra for the mother load question, and you win it. You get everything. If you lose it, though, you go home with me.
I'm up for it if you are, Michael.
You bet.
Okay, they're up for it. All the excitement is running high here. It's running high here. So you got to get this right, right? And what's left?
The categories left are current events, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason, two ends.
I kind of like current events, but, you know, sometimes that can lead you astray. How about you? Or is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Well, this is a collaboration. I don't want to go there if Michael doesn't.
Michael?
I'm fine by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Current events. Let's see what's in the news here. Yeah, okay. Indiana. I'm taking out Indiana. Has suspended its... Oh, you either have to have heard this. Did you hear about this license vanity plates in Indiana? Either one of you? Okay, I'll skip that. All right, sports question. You guys okay with sports? Baseball, for example?
I was out of the country for a while, so if it's current...
They still played it when they you were here, didn't they?
I'm not a sports guy myself.
Okay. Let's go back to the vanity plate. No, let's try this then. No. Okay. It's either sports or Indiana. I'll let you pick.
Let's go sports.
Sports. Okay. This is right out of the news. Who said, what did I say wrong? I want to know what I said wrong. Please tell me. I want everyone to tell me exactly what did I say that was so wrong after saying his $72.5 million contract was a slap in the face. This is a American ball player, possibly playing in Cincinnati, who got a $72.5 million contract and said it was, in fact, a slap in the face.
So I'm inferring that Cincinnati has a team of some sort.
All right, let's look at license plates in Indiana. Another very important category.
I am a native Hoosier.
Okay. All right, yeah. Indiana has suspended its vanity license plates after a challenge to what plate by a law officer? A police officer had a vanity license plate. He sued, and so they suspended the whole program of vanity plates in Indiana. Right now, you cannot get a vanity plate in Indiana. He was a police officer, and so therefore his plate might have had something to do with that. Perhaps a comment.
So if it was a policeman.
Pejorative, perhaps, for some term related to some
term.
Oh, so
it must have had something a four-letter, I'm betting.
Four-letter pejorative that might have been associated with an officer of the law in a humorous fashion because he was one.
Yes.
Four-letter what?
Four-letter pigs. So that says oink.
Oink. You say oink, vanity plate.
I think that sounds great.
That's it. They win.
Jason, celebrate your quiz victory with a bottle of refreshing raspberry. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Very special thanks to our guests, Ricky Van Veen and Bobby Tufts. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.